I want to add my own welcome to that which Deanne shared with you a few moments ago, not only you who are in the room, but also those who are joining us online. Also, a brief word of apology. I spent the holiday weekend with my family, my wife and daughter, and our other daughter and son-in-law and grandson. And you know, you teach your children and your grandchildren to share, but you hope they won't share the colds that they have. So if I'm snorting or barking this morning like that, I beg your indulgence and apologize. I want to begin the message today with a very simple question. Do you want to hear God? Now, I don't mean, do you want to hear the voice of God audibly in, like, wake up at 2:30 in the morning and you hear this booming voice say, I want you to build an ark. As much as, do you really want to cultivate the practice, the discipline of listening to the Lord so that you can hear what God is speaking into your life? You know, there's an old, it's a bad joke. I think I've used it in this church before, of the guy who said, Lord, I love you. I will do anything you want me to do. Just speak to me through your word. And he opened the Bible up and he stabbed his finger and he looked down and it said, Judas went and hanged himself. Lord, I manipulated the Bible open there. Open it for me. Go thou and do likewise. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinity, third's the charm. What you must do, do quickly. Now that's silly. But it's, I think, illustrative of the ways that we tend to manipulate our ability to hear God the way we want to hear God. A friend in Mississippi sent me something on the internet this week, and I thought it was apropos. Apparently, this is a translation from a poster found in a church in France. When you enter this church, it may be possible that you will hear the call of God. However, it's unlikely that he will call you on your mobile. Thank you for turning off your phones. If you want to talk to God, enter, choose a quiet place and talk to him, or for purposes of this message, listen to him. If you want to meet God, if you want to see God, send him a text while driving. little public service announcement there. So you know, those of you who have been around this year, that we have been pursuing a series of messages under the theme that we're calling Overflow. And the concept is that we want to rediscover, repractice the historic practices and disciplines that Christians have used for centuries to draw ever closer to God, to get to the point that our lives are like a cup that overflows on a regular basis. We took that image, Rich took that image from the 23rd Psalm. And we began kind of opening it up at the first of the year. We've worked our way through the practices of prayer and Sabbath and secrecy and confession, solitude and silence. Last month, we're looking this month at listening and discernment. And for the purposes of our time together this morning, I'm really drilling in on listening. Now, some folks, I understand, look at a list like that and don't feel that their lives are overflowing as much as they begin to feel overwhelmed. It's like, holy smokes, I've got to add all this to my life. Okay, in February, I was good with prayer, but then you start stacking all these other things on here. I don't have time to eat, sleep, or go to the bathroom. How am I supposed to integrate all of these practices into my life on a daily basis? That's not it at all, friends. Think of these practices, these disciplines, as tools that you have in a toolkit that you pull out at one time or another for whatever you're working on. I was working on a project at my house yesterday. I broke out a couple of my crescent wrenches and my socket set to work on my edger. I didn't need the hammer. I got several hammers in the tool room. I didn't need saws. I didn't need pliers. I needed certain tools. I didn't need all of them. There are going to be different times in your life when you need to employ various and different practices. Not all of them all the time. Learn these practices. Integrate the ones into your life on a regular basis that work for you. Hold on to the rest of them and use them in times that they will benefit you in that particular moment. Today, let's think about listening. I hope you'll listen. I've worked on this message this week. I don't want it to be all in vain. So occasionally, if you would just nod your head like you're listening, I will feel better and we'll go home and have a good Sunday afternoon nap. And to get into the practice, the spiritual practice of listening, I want us to take a look at a text from an Old Testament prophet called Habakkuk. Not many folks spend a lot of time looking at Habakkuk. It's one of those minor prophets buried in the latter probably 20% of the Old Testament, only three chapters. It's real easy to miss as you're working your way through the Bible. But let me set the context for when this prophet spoke and interacted with God. And to do that, I want you to think about this room as the land of Israel. Let's call the back half of the room the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the front half of the room the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. About 100 years before Habakkuk had this interaction with God, the northern kingdom of Israel had been attacked and conquered by the nation of Babylon, and most all of their people had been carted away from Israel and forced to resettle in Babylon. That's called the Babylonian exile. While that was happening, the folks in Judah in the south were kind of looking down their noses at the northern nation thinking, yeah, you got what was coming to you. You know, we're better than you are. We've got our act together. Y'all were worshiping false gods. You'd lost your priorities. You didn't know what was really important in your life. You put your trust in all the wrong thing. We got our act together. Well, pride cometh before the fall, as they say. And in about 605 BC, Egypt was moving north to take on the forces of Babylon, which had allied itself with a number of other nations, and guess who was caught smack in the middle? Judah. And the people of Judah at the time, because they thought they were safe and they were secure and everything was okay, just thought, we don't have to worry about anything. We got a great king. Their king at the time, Josiah, was a phenomenal king. In fact, Josiah is revered more by the Jewish people today than even King David. So they were placing their trust, their hope, their faith in their political system, and they thought economics are good, we're doing all right, everything's okay, you know, let's just coast along here. Well, then they decide to intervene in this battle between Babylon and Egypt, and Judah goes out. King Josiah is killed on the battlefield. Judah is trounced. The nation of Judah is defeated, and all of Judah is carted off to Babylon in exile as well. And it's in the midst of all of that that the prophet Habakkuk has this interaction with God. So let's look together at just a snippet at the beginning of Habakkuk's interaction. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Now, there's actually a change of voice at this point in the prophecy. Everything up to this point has been Habakkuk crying out to God. And this next line is God's, the beginning of God's answer to Habakkuk. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you wouldn't believe even if you were told. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me tell you what God allowed to orchestrate. I'm going to do something in your days you wouldn't believe even if you were told. As Habakkuk complained about how bad things were, God essentially was saying, they're going to get worse before they get better. God listened to Habakkuk, and he called Habakkuk to listen to him to say, there's a paradox coming. It's going to be bad news that will result in good news. And the bad news was that Egypt and Babylon were going to compress and destroy Judah. Babylon ultimately defeated Egypt so that Judah was carted off into exile. Life wasn't wonderful the way they thought it was going to be. It was bad news. But they discovered in exile that they had placed their hope, their faith, their trust in all the wrong places, in all the wrong people. Don't trust in the king. Don't trust in the systems. Trust in God alone. And in Babylon, they found that they could trust in God. We can be assured that God is always listening to us. The question is, are we always listening to God? It feels like sometimes there is so much clutter in the air that we can't hear. In the 1970s, and some of you are old enough to be alive in the 1970s. In the 1970s, on average, the American adult processed information from between 500 and 1,600 ads a day. This was before cell phones. This was before the internet. So this was radio, television, billboard, newspaper, magazine advertising, somewhere between 500 and 1,600 a day. The number today is between 4,000 and 10,000. Do you wonder why you can't pay any attention to anything? It's because the frames are changing with such rapidity that we can't hold on to it. And there's so much noise in our minds, in our hearts, and in our souls that we can't hear from God. So there is a correlation between the practices we were looking at last month, and particularly the practice of silence, and the practice we're looking at right now, the practice of listening. You cannot listen without silence. All of us live in homes through which there are Echo, Alexa is chattering away in one room, a television is on in at least another room, and someone is at the other end of the house, possibly on a different floor, calling out to you, and you can't hear them, and you wonder why. There's just too much noise. We have to have silence in order to be able to listen. And there is a difference between hearing and listening. So look at this. Hearing is the physical process that your body goes through as sounds hits our eardrums. It's a passive activity where we don't have to actively engage our brain to do that activity. So when somebody says, did you hear me? Well, yeah, the sound waves hit my ear. I heard them. I processed them. May not have heard them clearly, but I didn't. May not have paid attention to them. But yes, I heard them. Listening, on the other hand, is an active process. It requires effort on our part. We have to consciously think to listen. Let me give you a very simple, very silly illustration of this. Umpteen years ago, early in our marriage, it was in the BC days, before children days, Lib and I had both come home at the end of the day. We changed clothes. We're going for a walk in the neighborhood. We lived in Augusta, Georgia at the time. And as we were walking, Lib began to tell me about something that had happened at work that day. And you know, it was obvious that she was frustrated by it, and so she unfolds this story. And as I'm hearing her, and I think I'm listening, I'm actually thinking about my response. And so she finishes the story, and I looked at her, and I said, well, have you thought about doing this? And she looked at me like I was stupid. Now, don't you say anything. And she told the same story again. She repeated the story. So we're walking through the neighborhood, and I'm listening to the story a second time. I'm listening, and I think, well, she didn't like the advice I gave the first time. So she finishes the story. I said, well, have you thought about doing Y? She looks at me like I'm dumb and proceeds to tell the story the third time. I'm not joking. This really happened. Men, learn from my mistakes. She finishes telling the story the third time, and as she does, I'm thinking, okay, I'm a pastor, I'm her husband, she's telling me this because she needs help fixing it. She didn't like X, Y, so let me, maybe Z. And she finishes telling the story, and she looks at me like, don't you say a word. And I turned and I looked at her, and I said, I'm so sorry. She says, oh, thank you so much. Guys, learn to listen, not just with your ears, but with your mind, your heart, and your soul as well. Process what you're hearing, not only from your spouse, not only from your children, not only from the people you work with, but from God as well. Learn to listen. So let me suggest that there are certain things that it takes to listen well. And the first of these, quite obviously, is practice. I obviously, in that early year or two of marriage, didn't have effective practice in listening. And so I had to learn to listen to my wife. And all of us, I think, have to learn, particularly in this day and age, to listen more closely to God. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, run around like a chicken with your head cut off, with as many windows open in your life as possible, and know that I am God. Is that it? Or does it say, be still and know that I am God? In this hyperactive, frenetic world, we literally, friends, have to slow things down and learn to cultivate stillness and silence so that we can hear God. It doesn't happen instantaneously or automatically. And if you heard the messages last month on solitude and silence, and you're taking that to heart, and you're listening to me today about listening, and you decide to practice this, and this week you're going to sit down for just 5 minutes and be still and silent and listen to God. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You are going to be seized with the compulsion to do everything you have left undone for the last 10 years. It's just human nature. We have to practice this. It doesn't happen instantly. It takes work to get to that point. The second thing, beyond practice, it takes humility as well. I think that Habakkuk had to struggle with humility because he was crying out to God, and he wanted comfort and good news right away. And what Habakkuk received was not instant good news. It was not a quick fix. He had to be in it for the long game. And sometimes, particularly in this day and age, it's hard to stay in it for the long game. Humility means that when I sit down and I listen to God and I think God is calling me to be or to do something, I need to balance that with His Word. Does what I think I'm hearing from God align with His Word? And beyond that, it's I need to be in community, because we all need others who will speak into our lives. Do you have somebody in your life who will say, that's not a good idea? I don't believe I'd do that if I were you. Or, you know, I've been praying for you, and we've been reading Scripture together, and that's not what I hear. I think you need to take another look at this. So it takes humility. Frederick Buechner, who's a Presbyterian minister and author, in one of his books says, and he's writing about some of the parables on prayer. He says, be importunate, which means keep knocking on the door. Jesus says, not as one assumes, because you have to beat a path to God's door before He'll open it, but because until you beat a path, maybe there's no way of getting to your door. Humility means we've got to be honest with ourselves and admit that we have so cluttered our lives with what we're allowing in that God can't get through. And we have to beat a path away from our own door and remove everything that we think is enabling us to multitask, which really means doing nothing well at all, and allow God to get in to us. So listening requires practice. It requires humility. And finally, it requires action. When you listen to God and you get a clear message from God, and it aligns with Scripture, and it's supported by the community around you, you have to do something about it. I remember being in this very room roughly 30 years ago. In the early 1990s, I was a minister to singles of this church, and we had this phenomenal singles ministry that met here on Tuesday nights. And some of you who are in here right now, remember that you were in here, maybe in here this particular night I'm talking about. Once or twice a year, we would bring Frank Harrington, who was a senior pastor at the time. We'd bring Frank in for what we called a fireside chat. And he'd just sit on the stage in his rocking chair, and folks would put questions to him. We had them written down so that I could kind of sort them and get them to him. And this particular night that I recall, Frank got to the end of it, and he was looking at two or three questions that all really kind of asked the same question. And it was really about premarital and extramarital sexual activity. And I remember watching Frank just look at those questions and then sit them down next to him and just kind of held his hands in his lap for a minute, and then he looked at the room and he said, I believe that premarital and sexual activity is inappropriate. I believe that because that is what the Bible teaches. And I believe that because that has been my own practice. And I also believe that because every week, he said, I'm dealing with the human wreckage of lives that have not followed that teaching. Frank went on for a few more minutes, and then the evening ended, and a lot of people left, and a lot of people came up and were talking to Dr. Harrington. And I was standing over there by the entrance to the kitchen, just kind of watching the room, and a guy that I knew walked up to me, and he said, we chatted for a minute, and he said, you know, Chuck, I was here last year when we did the fireside chat, and I heard Dr. Harrington give the same response to that question that he gave tonight. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it one little bit. And he looked down and he looked back up and he said, but I'm here tonight because I'm some of that human wreckage that he is talking about because I didn't follow that teaching and my life is a mess right now. When you listen to God and he speaks, in the silence of your life, through his word, through other prophetic voices, you can't just keep on keeping on like you always have. You must align your life with God's intent. And then you can sleep at night. So I return to the question with which I began this message today. Do you want to hear God? I don't know what you're hoping to hear when you listen, whether it's something about a relationship or work or a family or an illness or economics or the direction of our company, country or what it is. But do you want to hear God? Do you want to listen to God? If you will practice that, if you will allow a little bit of silence into your life, and listen to God in that silence, there's one thing I promise you, you will always hear. You will hear God say that he loves you. That he loves you. That he loves you forever. Unconditionally, despite all the stuff in our lives, he loves you. And you won't hear that unless you listen. Pray with me. Lord, help us in this moment and in the moments before us in the coming weeks and months, and Father, for the rest of eternity. Help us to learn to listen to you. In stillness and silence, in your word, in relationships, and in humility. And as we gather around your table today, may we listen to you and hear you remind us that you love us, and that you claim us, and that you forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.